Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme. Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event. Hello to all our dear listeners. This is your spokesman with a plan, Clarence Cloverleaf, coming to you after somewhat of an absence spell, as since December of 2018, I've been sailing around the world. From Italy to Canada, I've been making my way across this beautiful land of ours, searching for new meaning to an older existence. I'm happy to say I'm back now, and here to let you in on some stuff going on as of late. In mid-2018, the Cloverleaf Radio Network expanded to include our friends Josh and Ariana over at Night Moves Radio. It's been a splendid partnership, and Jimmy, Jane, and I are happy to welcome them to the family. They also brought along Soul Stories, which features inspiring poetry, read by the author herself, Ariana Cherry. We've been brought onto many new networks, including Anchor, the ASY podcasting network, WordPress, Podbean, even iHeartRadio. We've also started a fresh new YouTube page, as well as updating our Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, and expanding our network to new segments, more radio reunions, all news guests, and so much more. Also, the Cloverleaf Radio Network, Jimmy, Ariana, and Josh, will be appearing upcoming at two conventions, SilCon and Dark History Con. SilCon will be held September 6th and 7th, 2019, at Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois, while Dark History Con will be held October 26th and 27th, 2019, at the City Center Performance Venue in Champaign, Illinois. Be sure and check out the newest guest appearances, as well as find out about up-to-date ticket information by visiting www.silcon.com or www.dhhcon.com. Although, please note, SilCon is a free event. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to follow and support us for 11 years. This is Clarence Cloverleaf saying, good day to you.
Well, I am half sick working with a new phone, but I think we have everything set up right. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. This time we're honored to welcome stuntman and actor Leatherface himself, Bob Elmore. How's it going, Bob?
Doing good. How are you guys doing out there? Back there, wherever you're at.
Well, we're in the country, so we're out there, back there, and between there, pretty much.
Right, out and back, and here we go.
Yes. So how's things going for you?
Doing good. I'm in the midst of moving, so I'm packing up everything here, and my wife and I are going to move to a little house and then, go from there.
Well, I noticed you were out in California, so there's got to be no place more beautiful than that.
Well, it's hotter than you-know-what right now, but it's, a little cool down here in a couple months, and then it's real nice. But, I'm a native California myself. I've been out here forever, but I've been all over the place. So there's a lot of places I'd love to go to, I've been to, and all that.
Yeah, I've lived in central Illinois my whole life. It's definitely a lot different than California, but I was blessed to be able to go there on vacation, and it is beautiful, and I almost want to take a palm tree home with me.
Yeah, you can come right now and take one, because it's like 100 degrees out right now, but that's okay.
Well, I noticed that you got your start in the 70s working at Knott's Berry Farm doing stunts in the Wild West show. And Knott's Berry Farm has got it's been part of family legacies for generations now. So I'm sure just having an opportunity to be in one of the legendary stage shows was pretty cool. How did all that come about for you in the beginning?
You know what? At the time, I was a pretty pretty good sized guy, 6'2", 180, something like that. I'm good shape. I was in good shape back then, and had a full beard. Well, there was a character in the show that came out. And he was a Beaumont Bear, the Hollywood stuntman, and guys came in and said, "Hey, you know what? You look the part. Why don't you go try it?" And I did, and I got the job, and started working there. And a lot of guys got the bug to really try to do stunt work, professionally, and try to make a living at it. And so from there, we went into Hollywood, and long time before, anybody got any work or anything. I think I got my SAG card doing a commercial for Knott's, and then I think it was almost 2.5-3 years before I got any kind of a job working as a paid professional stuntman. And I did. I got a show on Remington Steel, which was my first job. And went on from there.
Wow, Remington Steel. That's going back a bit before
that's
my time, but I definitely know. I've definitely heard of it.
Yeah. I did Wilmington Steel, the original A-Team. I got in a fight with Mr. T, Murder, She Wrote, Matlock. Gosh, I can't even remember all these little, jobs here and there like that. And then because I did a lot of TV when I first started. And then, playing myself because I'm a big guy. Big guys always get killed, beat up. And, and got into other stuff. I did a bunch of episodes of Married with Children. And then I got into the movies and, doing some movies, playing little characters here and there, and then I started doubling actors, and that's where I, caught on. I started really making a living.
Yeah, going through and noticing you have had some great roles. Unfortunately, the thing about IMDb, which I use quite a bit, it doesn't always have all the roles it's got. Roles.
Yeah, it does not.
Aren't,
I look
like people have never been in. They're like, oh, I've never heard of that movie.
Right. And, you could put whatever you want to in there. And I've never done that. Somebody put that up for me. And there's a lot of shows that I've done that are not on there. But, I can't even remember some of them. But like I said, I had a nice career, almost 30 years worth, and I made a good living, and now I have a nice retirement.
Absolutely, and
yeah.
I'm sure we'll bounce around a bit, but I did want to ask before we go into Texas Chainsaw, I was surprised that you worked in not one, not two, but five movies, I believe, with one of my favorite actors of all time, the late, great John Candy.
Absolutely.
What was that like? That had to be really awesome.
I worked with another gentleman, Dick Warlock, who was he was one of the Jasons, I think, or Michael Myers or something like that, way back in the day. And he was a coordinator on this movie, and he goes, "Hey, you're the right size. You're not big, real big, but you're the right size for this actor I got for this movie called Spaceballs." I go, "Huh, okay." So I went there and met everybody, and they go, "Well, can you do a forward role in a costume?" I said, "Well, I think so," and I did. And they, "Okay, you're good." Okay, and that was it. I got hired and got made up, and you could not tell us apart. John and myself were exactly the same height.
Wow.
The shoulders are the same width, and except for I wore a belly pad because he was a lot bigger than I was. But then that was my first job doubling John. Mel Brooks was the director, and I went on from there. I went to Who's Harry Crumb, Only the Lonely, Nothing But Trouble. There's a couple other ones. I don't even.
Delirious.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And on Delirious, we did that in. We did that out here. Who's Harry Crumb? We did in Canada, and that's the one where I was with John all the time. And then from then on, I got onto his contract, and I did 3 or 4 movies for John in his contract. So that was a very unique experience for a stuntman, which was really hard to do. I'm lucky to say I did it for a period of time. And then, you know, John was just a great human being. He was really, really good to his inner circle of people, great with fans, but real good to his people.
Yeah, anybody I've ever had the honor of talking to who was in a movie with him, I've always heard wonderful things, just like Chris Farley. He was one of those guys that I enjoy watching on television, and then you're able to hear that these people were great in real life. It really kind of brings it full circle for you.
Right. You know, John wanted to – he was a really, really good actor, in my opinion, and that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to, you know, be a serious actor, and he was pigeonholed and all this stuff because that's what he did to get started, and he was very good at, you know, the comedic guy and all that, and but he really wanted to be just serious acting, and he got a chance in Trains, Planes, and Automobiles on that one, and then Only the Lonely, he got to do a little more, you know, and so on. But that's what he wanted to do. But, you know, he worked a lot, and, you know, he it was unfortunate that and he knew he had problems with his heart. His dad passed away early from a heart condition, and one of his uncles, and you know, and but he did what he did, so it was unfortunate, though.
Yeah, I it seems like the biggest personalities take everything to the limit: partying, acting,
absolutely,
comedy. Belushi was one, and of course, Candy
sure,
and Farley
yep,
were just so legendary and had so much charisma and everything that was in them to keep them going at the levels they were. Could not have been easy.
Well, I got a chance to talk with Dan Aykroyd, you know, because we did a movie, I think it was Nothing But Trouble or something, and he was in it.
Yes.
And he directed it, and that's what he said. He finally, you know, the light bulb went off in his head, and he quit doing everything. But there was those guys were all crazy when they came out of, you know, came out of Canada and from Chicago, that whole group of guys, the Murray Brothers, you know, Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, the Belushi brothers, and so on and so forth. And but they were, you know, they were all, you know, young guns, and that's what they did, man. They partied hardy until, you know, a few of them finally wised up because they saw the way that was going.
Yeah, it seems like if you watch, you know, or hear anybody that especially worked in, like, the 70s and 80s, and SNL especially was really big, known for their drugs and cocaine. And
oh, yeah.
It was just on set, like it was a normal day, which, in, you know, I find it kind of find crazy. But now it's 2019, and who knows what, you know, people everywhere are doing crazy stuff. So
right.
It might have been better back then.
That was what it was like in the stunt business. There, you know, everybody, you know, you risk your life and you want to celebrate the day, and a lot of them did that. And you know, I started off with a family when I first started, so I knew I had to do my thing, and I had to go home because I had a family at home. And I, you know, you got to take care of business. You can't go out, you know, partying all night and then having to get up the next morning and have to go do something on a set or anything. So, now, some did, some didn't. A lot of them some were irresponsible, some were real responsible. So they were, you know... just like everything else, it was a job. You got to do your job, but you trained. I trained and trained and trained,
right,
to keep up on that end of it. And you know, I did what I did, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I think you know, of course, being a stuntman, you couldn't just walk and be like, okay, I'm here. Let's hit me with a car. Let me jump off this. It has to be a lot of work. Kind of like professional wrestling, I think about. I was surprised you weren't wrestling. Your size,
I was trained by a gentleman called Gene LaBelle.
Judo Gene. Yep.
Judo Gene, and I studied with him over 10 years, and just to learn how to fall on the ground without getting hurt, and that was the only reason behind it. And we learned a lot of other things, but the training part of it, you know, the fight in a movie is a dance, and the dance starts, you know, real slow. And you pick up speed, you pick up speed, you pick up speed until you're full speed, and then you go, you know. And that's how you work it. And then it's calculations it's scientific now, all this. And it has been for a long time. You just don't go, okay, here we go. No, that's not how it happens.
Yeah, and anymore it seems like, especially the time that goes on, stuff gets so much CG into it that you have the mocap suits and there's like little balls attached everywhere capturing your motions. And
right.
I'm sure
and
back
you know,
when you did it, it was love.
Well, when we did it, it was, you know, here we go. Here you are. You know, you're going to do a car yet? Yes, you are. And it went to the CGI, and people didn't like it. The audience said no, you know, and now they finally realized that, and now they're going to where they have to film an actor or a stuntman, and then they superimpose, you know, whatever body they want to put on it. But you have that movement because you can't duplicate that movement. The human movement is just, you know, it's too unique. So, and people are smart enough, and they know the difference. So, you know, and so now they're getting back to it and putting more people to work. LA's
That's
not
right.
like it used to be. It's a whole different deal now. You know, they've got East Coast is a big place. You know, the Texas is a good, you know, Utah, all over. You know, the big towns used to be New York, Chicago, and LA, but not anymore.
Yeah.
It's wherever.
That's very true. And,
yeah.
Of course, going into the thing you've been asked 20 gajillion and a half times, I'm sure. How did you get involved with the now legendary Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise? I found it interesting you hadn't seen the original film when you were asked to do this. How did all that come about? And
I was working with a gentleman called John Moyle, who was a stunt coordinator, and he got this movie, and he just looked at us. Now there were four of us, three guys and a young lady, and we all fit the same, just, you know, the description of the actors. And then and he told us about it, and I said, I never heard of anything like this, you know. And so that's when I went and I rented the movie, and I go, man, this is crazy. And I go, wow, you know, it just blew me away. So the second one, we knew it wasn't going to be quite as like the first one, so we went in, and I was there to double Bill Johnson. Dan Behringer doubled Bill Moseley. Jimmy Steffen doubled Dennis Hopper, and a young lady named Beth Newford doubled Caroline Williams. And we went back, and that's what we were there for. We practiced the car or the truck scene here in California on my truck, setting that up to where we need to do that. And we set a pick line where we were going to put it. We put it on the truck that's in the movie. And I did everything off of a wire. But unbeknownst to us, we tried, you know, everything was dry when we were doing it. And when we filmed it, the chainsaw was spewing oil everywhere. So it was like, oh, it was crazy. And but that's what we did. And I did a scene, what was it, in the tunnel chasing Karen. You know, I come out, did something, threw the chainsaw over my head, hit a light, spark, boom, 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 150 degrees in there, and I was done. So now I'm, you know, I'm done. I'm walking out, and I go, hey, get here, this Bob, come back to set. I go, oh, crap, now what? You know, I'm going, I don't want this because it's too flipping hot. And I get back in there, and I go, oh, Bill can't lift the chainsaw. You're going to have to do all. I go, whoa. This is all close-ups, you know. I'm chasing this little ATV down this tunnel, and it's all POV of Caroline and then, you know, Leatherface. And he couldn't lift it up. I did it, and then that was the end of that, man. He got sick, and then he decided he didn't want to, you know, he didn't like the violence of the movie, and one thing led to another, so I ended up doing everything in the movie but two close-ups.
Wow.
You know,
that's pretty interesting.
It's just crazy because I'm not an actor, so now I'm trying to do these, you know, Chainsaw Love, and I'm trying, you know, I'm going, oh, my gosh.
Right.
You know, and Toby Hooper's screaming, and my boss is screaming at me. I got all these people trying to tell me what to do, and I'm trying to do what they're telling me, and all driving me nuts, and it was an experience in itself. But Yeah, and you know, there was a period of time where I made more money on the movie than anybody in the movie. I made, you know, I was doubling. I was an actor. I got paid as an actor. I got paid as a stuntman, doubling myself. So I did get taken care of in a lot of instances. But we worked 7 days a week. We worked six
wow.
days, and then the seventh day, which was Sunday, we prepped for Monday. The stunt team did. So we were ahead of everything, and that's the way it went. I mean, it was so bad that, you know, we would send people out to get underwear because we had no time to wash our clothes, you know.
Wow. That's
it was 16-hour days, 7 days a week, 150 degrees, most miserable conditions I've ever been, you know, worked in. And but it became a legendary film, you know, 35 years later. It's a, you know, a cult
right.
film. The characters are icon horror characters, and I'm very proud to have done that.
That's really awesome. Yeah, it's really great when, because it sounds like the shoot itself was really, would have been trying on anybody, especially
oh.
with the heat conditions, and to be able to come out of it with, you know, now looking back about how, you know, great the film and the franchise has come along.
Right.
I think you have a great head looking back at it.
Well, it was, you know, I mean, at the time we're going, oh my God, you know, we checked out of the hotel 3 days before we really left to go home. Nobody knew, you know, our families didn't know where we were at, because they would call and they go, well, they're checked out. Well, we were on set. We didn't leave. We worked 72 hours straight to finish
wow.
the scene, because there was a deadline period. No more money. That was the end of it, period. Cut off right there. So we filmed and filmed and filmed everything imaginable. They'd never gotten a movie anyway, but Toby went crazy, and that was it. And then we got the okay. We went to the airport and pounded a bunch of drinks and went home and slept for a week afterwards.
I bet. Caroline Williams is a sweetheart. She was on the show a couple years ago. She was just wonderful. I'm sure she was really great. And I see you seeing her in the streets here at conventions and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I hadn't seen her in 25 years, and I went to someplace in Louisville for a show or something, and I'm walking down in the hotel, and I hear this voice, and it was her, and I go, man, you have not changed at all, not one bit. And she's a sweetheart, and yes, it all came back. She was crazy as ever, and just a gem. Bill Moseley, I see Bill Moseley all the time, and he is just a true gentleman. And I used to get in trouble because I would be watching him as Chop Top doing all this crazy stuff, and I would just watch him instead of reacting to him, because I just never saw that before. So I would get yelled at about that, but, you know, we got through all that, you know.
Well, speaking of conventions, I want to make sure and promote Dark History and Horror Con.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be there this year. I think you're going to really enjoy yourself, and I know everyone's really looking forward to seeing you.
I can't. Well, you know, I love meeting people. Like I said, I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and you know, I've been to Germany 3 or 4 times, all over the United States and stuff, and just meeting. And the horror community is one of the best I've ever come across. They're the most gracious, the most... I mean, they're just the best. They are, all of them.
Yeah, I've been doing a few conventions for about 4 years now. And just being able to have something like this in our small area of Illinois now, when it was mostly like, kind of like the acting. It was kind of like the big cities.
Right.
Now that the cons are starting to come locally, and I think it's really awesome to be able to meet you know, famous people coming to these small areas to meet their fans, and it's really nice.
Well, that's what's so neat is, you know, meeting the people that they're just in awe of that whole thing, the whole chainsaw deal. And, you know, I'm going, you know, I don't mind telling that story 8 million times, which I probably have, but I love doing it, you know, because people want to hear about it. And, yeah, I'll tell them whatever. So it's just been a real good time, you know, and I love doing it. You know, I make a couple bucks, yes, I do. But I also meet a lot of good people, which is really neat.
Absolutely. Well, we are getting close to them. I always like to ask our guests what the future holds for them. So what do you got going on, including Dark History Con, Bob?
Well, Well, I got everything. 4 weeks in October, I'm someplace. In fact, we're doing a show here in where my town, Riverside, California. They're doing a show, and there's going to be some pretty good name people there. Ari Lehman is going to be there. Robert Mukes from
House of Doubt Sports.
Yeah, and Devil's Rejects and all that, and a couple other people are going to be and I fortunately I got to be in there, so that's going to be cool. We just did a show in Long Beach. There were 30,000 people there, which was insane. Where am I going to? Illinois again, and then I'm going to someplace else. I don't know. I have to go look at my date book. But, yeah, I'm busy. And then, like I said, I'm moving, so that's going to take up the whole month of October. And I'm going to take the month of November off and not do anything.
I don't blame you. I almost brought up Ari Lehman because I had he was at last year's Dark History Con and did an interview with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking about how big these characters have become. It's awesome that and Robert Mukes was at Dark History Con a few years ago as well. So, I mean, those are really nice guys and great talent.
They are, you know, and everybody's been, you know, it's pretty good. I have not come across anybody in the horror genre that's not, you know, a good person. Sid Haig is just a gentleman on top of every, you know, he is just a cool guy and, you know, like that. A couple little actors are running around that are little, you know, buttheads, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'd say maybe one I've ran into out of all these times, but, I mean, there's buttheads throughout the world, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. They're here and there.
Well, Bob, thank you so very much for joining us. I can't thank you enough for everything you've done.
You know,
it was
my pleasure. I appreciate it very much. You know, if you want to do it again, you let me know. I absolutely would do it. I had a great time, and I appreciate it again, like I said.
Absolutely. I can't wait to meet and see you at Dark History Con. I think you're going to enjoy yourself.
Make sure you get a hold of me, all right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, man.
All right, thanks again.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, guys, in case you just joined us maybe a few minutes ago, maybe 10, be sure and check out about 10 minutes after we're off the air, and you can check out the archived interview. Big thanks again to Bob Elmore. A couple of shows. Yes, I'm getting the 60 seconds from the British pre-recording lady. We're going back August 31st. Appearing at 2019 SoCon, the Queen of the Paranormal, Kendra Loesch, owner Carol. Of course, actress, author, and radio TV personality. September 2nd, we are doing part two with Eliza Schneider. Of course, the South Park actress and dialect coach who joined us this past Monday, but her phone was cutting out, so she will be back this coming week to discuss some more with us. September 4th, actor Jose Santiago Jr. returning. He is going to be discussing his new film, Joanna. September 5th, author and owner of Rising Tide Publishing, my dear friend Brian K. Morris, returns. Ahead of his appearance at 2018 SoCon. September 9th, filmmaker, makeup artist, and actress Athena Prajorto. September 12th, actor, director, writer, producer Peter Elbing, best known for his work in such films and TV shows as Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. He's a screenwriter for that. Murphy Brown, Criminal Minds, Laverne and Shirley, Shaft, and Buzz. And, of course, 2019 SoCon this next weekend, September 6th and 7th, Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois. Visit SoCon.com for information on that. An absolutely free event. And 2019 Dark History Horror Con, October 26th and 27th. 2019 at City Center in Champaign, Illinois. DHHCon.com for up-to-date list of guests and ticket information. We will see you guys on the 31st. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.